I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Excitement was rising. The people were filled with expectation as they listened to John tell them what to do now that they were baptized. Soldiers, tax collectors, and ordinary people, some with two coats and others with none, had come to the waters of the Jordan River to be baptized by John. They had come to participate in the purification ceremony in the hopes of participating in a major turnaround in their circumstances. This is what precedes our gospel reading today, and I think it's the background we need to understand what the baptism of the Lord is about. Each of the people who came to the Jordan, each of them in their given occupation, has been struggling to know how they can possibly do their job without compromising their faith. How they can be the good people they were meant to be when all around them disorder and immorality and injustices come at them from every angle. They have been feeling the need for spiritual renewal so that they can feel assured that God is with them, loves them, and will save them from falling apart. John's voice has been heard far and wide, sending renewal messages out to reach even the most distant soul in Judea. People are being moved, stirred. They feel the movement carry them to the waters of the Jordan, to John. He raises them up out of the waters, making them feel clean, forgiven, ready to give away their second coat, ready to do God's will, ready for good change. They wonder if John isn't the one rising up to fill their expectations for social change, one to be the Messiah. Excitement is rising in our cities and villages in Canada. People across Canada are coming to the watering holes of our time to talk about politics. Not at all unlike the Jewish people going to the River Jordan to talk about the damage being done to their lives because of the oppressive reign of Caesar. Then, as now, we expect things to be better than they are, not worse, or looking to be worse. This common expectation is well-founded, originating in the story most people believe, the story that every element and creature living is good, created in love by a divine being who remains overhead to remind us of our origins and keep us on track with living well, with carrying out a heavenly vision. The vision for our lives is to be good and to do good through whatever sector of society we find ourselves in, whatever role, vocation, job, whatever we have to do in life is a means to serve the good and to contribute to a just and ordered society. Perhaps people in Canada's municipalities are more filled with dread than expectation today and for this week. Unlike the people that traveled from far and wide to be baptized by John, people are not necessarily traveling to church to hear a good word of hope and instruction and go through a religious ritual to become people committed to the good in the face of evil. The threats of heavy taxation and annexation by the president-elect of the United States are akin to the Roman Empire's actions towards the Jewish people and their homes and their land and their way of life. Most of us in Canada are a bit unsure what each and every oppressive and bullying threat will mean if we don't have a prime minister that will save us from being swallowed up by a foreign government. Are we not wondering who our Messiah will be? Who will rise up to uphold the way of life we believe in? The way of Canadian governance illustrated clearly in our Charter of Rights and Freedoms. The people surrounding John the Baptist, full of expectation, were asking this question of him. Are you the one promised of old, who will come to rule us and help us live out the vision of the Creator, so that the whole world sees our example and witness and wants then to collaborate with us to fulfill this vision? Maybe they didn't say all of that, but they were thinking most of it. And John's response, it was, I baptize you with the water of the Jordan River. But one is coming who will baptize you with the Spirit. The Spirit that brooded over the waters of creation. And this one is coming to fire you up to fulfill the Creator's vision. Evidence for the truth in his words that he's not going to be the one are what Luke tells us next in the story, because John won't be baptizing for very long, since Herod is about to throw him in prison. John is clearly not the right candidate. There is someone else. The truth in what John has said is about to be made quite real when Jesus shows up in the crowd to be baptized as well. 30 years have now passed since we witnessed Jesus in Mary's lap, receiving precious and expensive gifts from three wise men. Time has been sped up for us who are reading Luke's gospel story. The newborn king of the Jews has grown up. The incarnate Son of God has entered more fully and more surely into the life of the Jewish people in Israel. He took his first steps and began to taste and touch and smell and hear the wonders of the world all around him. He gained a footing in this place called Earth. Then he came of age and his eyes were opened further than anyone else's at his age. The marching soldiers didn't interest him like any other young boy, perhaps. For he saw what was transpiring all around him from a deeper place of knowing than the average guy. Jesus grew and matured and came to understand the hardships his people were enduring and the hopes for peace that they held. He did not observe his people's problems from a distance, but experienced them firsthand as well. He too had to hand over a significant portion of his carpentry profits to the tax collectors. In so doing, he saw the fix they, the tax collectors, were in, trying to serve God and not be corrupt and play their role in a terrible political situation. During his 30 years of life, he has witnessed John's ministry in the region of the Jordan River and seen how he has caught the imagination of the people. He has been preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins, and the people have wanted to hear it and to act upon it. He, Jesus, has come to support John's ministry and bear witness to the truth of his message. Jesus walks into the crowd beating with one heart for the restoration of Israel. He finds himself riding the wave of messianic excitement right to the shore where John stands, asking to be baptized as well, seeking to join himself to their expectations and hopes. Jesus takes the next step in immersing himself in our lives when he is baptized. He does so willingly, he does so knowingly. He takes off his robes to become naked with us and identify fully with our nakedness, our frailty, our finitude. He passes into the chaotic waters of cultural and social tumult because he believes he was born to do so, born to be the Messiah, born as the Son of God, born to become the servant of God. All the people who came to the Jordan are baptized, and Jesus, he's among them. And while everyone is drying off and putting their clothes back on, Jesus is doing the same, except that he is praying. Luke casually tells us that a supernatural thing happens now that he is praying. The skies split apart, and a voice from the spirit world above spoke like distant thunder, we read, saying, "You are my much-loved Son, who makes my heart glad." This is a repeat, you know, of the divine message given centuries earlier through the prophet Isaiah, intended for the whole people of God in exile. It was Isaiah 42:1, which says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Now at the Jordan River, everyone back in the Promised Land, the Creator speaks it over one person, his one and only Son. Jesus is the Son who has come to stand in for all the children of Israel, all the peoples and nations of the world. These divine words repeated from of old and spoken over Jesus as he rises up out of the waters and prays makes him the servant of God. This defines Jesus, as another scholar says, the mysterious, transcendent figure whom God endows with the Spirit to reestablish the covenant community by his sacrificial and atoning death, vindicated by his resurrection. When Jesus said yes to the ancient purification ceremony at the hands of John the Baptist, his yes reached the Father and the Spirit. They were waiting expectantly for this very moment. They have been waiting longer than the 30 years since he was born, longer than the 400 years of prophetic silence, longer than the centuries and epochs of time and civilization. They have been waiting to come, to reorder, renew, and recreate the whole cosmos ever since humankind said they could figure things out on their own without God's Spirit, without God's direction. In the beginning, you see, as recorded in the book of Genesis, the Spirit transforms chaos into cosmos, total confusion into an ordered universe. Though affected by the Spirit, it is a Trinitarian act, Father, Son, and Spirit. The Spirit present in the world at creation is kind of cast out when Adam sinned, when humankind said no to God. But ever restless to be fully present to us, to all of us, and to all of creation, the Spirit comes. The Spirit comes as Jesus comes out of the water. She comes as a dove over the waters where Jesus, the Son of God, stands to receive her. The whole fount of the Spirit is poured out on Jesus at his baptism. So then the Spirit is thus restored to the cosmos, is openly revealed to us in this moment, and again in the moment of resurrection. Jesus believed that it was the right time for him to rise up by going down into the waters. The meaning of this action is intense, so much so that we in the church have made this the reason, or made it a good reason, to have today be a major feast in our liturgical calendar. The meaning of Jesus' actions give cause for us to come to the waters as well. The ritual, the purification ceremony's power is an untapped human resource towards the good, towards the salvific messianic vision we long to see fulfilled. Malcolm Geet is a poet and a writer of sonnets, and he says this, encapsulating much of what I said so far, and I'll tie this up with some practical things after I say this sonnet. He wrote, "Beginning here, we glimpse the three in one. The river runs, the clouds are torn apart. The Father speaks, the Spirit and the Son reveal to us the single loving heart that bears behind the being of all things and calls and keeps and kindles us to light. The dove descends, the Spirit soars and sings, 'You are beloved, you are my delight.' In that swift light and life, as water spills and streams around the man like quickening rain, the voice that made the universe reveals the God in man who makes it new again. He calls us too to step into that river, to die and rise and live and love forever." The Spirit gladly joined herself to the expectations and hope of the people that day, uniting herself to them and saying to us that we too can be united with God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and be fired up to say yes to being the beloved children of God, willing to serve the heavenly vision, willing to with Jesus, be servants of God. The feast day we are reminded of, this feast day, we're reminded of the very ritual and the ceremony that signifies just what we need to face, our day and time, I think. We are invited to the shore, to the water, to the possibility of a new creation, to believe again, to be immersed in God, and know that the Spirit is with us, filling us, out there, always, ever present. And with Christ, in the union that we have with Christ and the Holy Spirit, which is founded in love, we too can say yes and not be afraid. I like that Isaiah reading that we had today too, that we have no need to be afraid because God speaks over us with love. Truly, there is no need in this week to despair or feel overwhelmed with what we read, what we're foreseeing. But today, let us feel and hear the pleasure of God in the skies above us, raining down words of love and gladness. The Spirit is with us. As we turn from the River Jordan today, let us set out into the wild, barren, terrifying political and cultural scene, fired up to lay down our lives in service to the triune God, knowing that God has come to make all things new, and it will happen. Amen. Thank you.